July 18th. Today's reading in the Old Testament will be from the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 26, verse 12. We'll go through chapter 27, verse 34. A beautiful and costly temple is a waste of money unless ministry is going on for the good of God's people and the glory of God. So, before David died, he organized the temple workers and put them under proper leadership. As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, "Let all things be done decently and in order." The work of the Lord called for dedicated service from many kinds of people. There were priests and Levites. There were musicians and treasurers, gatekeepers, soldiers, and state officers. You know, each of us has a calling from the Lord, and we must be faithful to take our place and do our job. We're helping to build the church, and we must give God our best. Now, being a musician himself, David was no doubt especially concerned that the music in the temple would be the finest available. God gave him people who were skillful and trained, but their task was not to magnify their talents. They were to glorify their Lord. Do you open and close each day with praise to the Lord? And with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. July 18th, 1 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 12, through chapter 27, verse 34. These divisions of the gatekeepers were named for their family leaders, and like the other Levites, they served at the house of the Lord. They were assigned by families for guard duty at the various gates, without regard to age or training, for it was all decided by means of sacred lots. The responsibility for the east gate went to Meshelemiah and his group. The north gate was assigned to his son Zechariah, a man of unusual wisdom. The south gate went to Obed-Edom, and his sons were put in charge of the storehouses. Shupim and Hosa were assigned to the west gate and the gateway leading up to the temple. Guard duties were divided evenly. 6 Levites were assigned each day to the east gate, 4 to the north gate, 4 to the south gate, and 2 to each of the storehouses. 6 were assigned each day to the west gate, 4 to the gateway leading up to the temple, and 2 to the courtyard. These were the divisions of the gatekeepers from the clans of Korah and Merari. Other Levites, led by Ahijah, were in charge of the treasuries of the house of God and the storerooms. From the family of Libni in the clan of Gershon, Jehiel was the leader. The sons of Jehiel, Zetham, and his brother Joel were in charge of the treasuries of the house of the Lord. These are the leaders that descended from Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. From the clan of Amram, Shebuel was a descendant of Gershon, son of Moses. He was the chief officer of the treasuries. His relatives through Eleazar were Rehabiah, Jeshiah, Joram, Zichri, and Shelemoth. Shelemoth and his relatives were in charge of the treasuries that held all the things dedicated to the Lord by King David, the family leaders, and the generals and captains and other officers of the army. These men had dedicated some of the plunder they had gained in battle to maintain the house of the Lord. Shelemoth and his relatives also cared for the items dedicated to the Lord by Samuel the seer, Saul son of Kish, Abner son of Ner, and Joab son of Zeruiah. All the other dedicated items were in their care too. From the clan of Izhar came Kenaniah. He and his sons were appointed to serve as public administrators and judges throughout Israel. From the clan of Hebron came Hashabiah. He and his relatives, 1,700 capable men, were put in charge of the Israelite lands west of the Jordan River. They were responsible for all matters related to the things of the Lord and the service of the king in that area. Also from the clan of Hebron came Jeriah, who was the leader of the Hebronites according to the genealogical records. In the 40th year of David's reign, a search was made in the records, and capable men from the clan of Hebron were found at Jazer in the land of Gilead. There were 2,700 capable men among the relatives of Jeriah. King David sent them to the east side of the Jordan River and put them in charge of the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They were responsible for all matters related to the things of God and the service of the king. This is the list of Israelite generals and captains and their officers who served the king by supervising the army divisions that were on duty each month of the year. Each division served for 1 month and had 24,000 troops. Jashobeam, son of Zabdiel, was commander of the first division, which was on duty during the first month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. He was a descendant of Perez and was in charge of all the army officers for the first month. Dodai, a descendant of Ahoah, was commander of the second division, which was on duty during the second month. There were 24,000 troops in his division, and Mikloth was his chief officer. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada the priest, was commander of the third division, which was on duty during the third month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. This was the Benaiah who commanded David's elite military group, known as the 30. His son, Amizabad, was his chief officer. Azahel, the brother of Joab, was commander of the 4th Division, which was on duty during the 4th month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. Azahel was succeeded by his son Zebadiah. Shema, the Izrahite, was commander of the 5th Division, which was on duty during the 5th month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. Ira, son of Ikash from Tekoa, was commander of the 6th Division, which was on duty during the 6th month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. Helez, a descendant of Ephraim from Pelon, was commander of the 7th Division, which was on duty during the 7th month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. Sibekai, a descendant of Zerah from Husha, was commander of the 8th Division, which was on duty during the 8th month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. Abiezer from Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin was commander of the 9th Division, which was on duty during the 9th month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. Maharai, a descendant of Zerah from Netophah, was commander of the 10th Division, which was on duty during the 10th month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. Benaiah from Pirathon in Ephraim was commander of the 11th Division, which was on duty during the 11th month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. Heled, a descendant of Othniel from Netophah, was commander of the 12th Division, which was on duty during the 12th month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. The following were the tribes of Israel and their leaders. The tribe of Reuben was led by Eleazar, son of Zichri. The tribe of Simeon was led by Shephatiah, son of Maacah. The tribe of Levi was led by Hashabiah, son of Kemuel. The tribe of Aaron, the priests, was led by Zadok. The tribe of Judah was led by Elihu, a brother of David. The tribe of Issachar was led by Amri, son of Machiel. The tribe of Zebulun was led by Ishmael, son of Obadiah. The tribe of Ephraim was led by Hoshea, son of Azaziah. The tribe of Manasseh in the west, led by Joel, son of Pedaiah. The tribe of Manasseh in the east, led by Edo, son of Zechariah. The tribe of Benjamin was led by Jaziel, son of Abner, and the tribe of Dan, led by Azarel, son of Jehoram. These were the leaders of the tribes of Israel. When David took his census, he did not count those who were younger than 20 years of age, because the Lord had promised to make the Israelites as numerous as the stars in heaven. Joab began the census but never finished it, because the anger of God broke out against Israel. The final total was never recorded in King David's official records. Asmaveth, son of Adiel, was in charge of the palace treasuries. Jonathan, son of Uzziah, was in charge of the regional treasuries throughout the towns, villages, and fortresses of Israel. Ezrai, son of Kelub, was in charge of the field workers who farmed the king's lands. Shimei from Ramah was in charge of the king's vineyards. Zebdi from Shipham was responsible for the grapes and the supplies of wine. Baal-Hanan from Geder was in charge of the king's olive groves and sycamore fig trees in the foothills of Judah. Joash was responsible for the supplies of olive oil. Shitrai from Sharon was in charge of the cattle on the Sharon plain. Shaphat, son of Adlai, was responsible for the cattle in the valleys. Obil, the Ishmaelite, was in charge of the camels. Jediah from Meronoth was in charge of the donkeys. Jaziz, the Hagrite, was in charge of the king's sheep. All these officials were overseers of King David's property. Jonathan, David's uncle, was a wise counselor to the king, a man of great insight and a scribe. Jehiel, the Hakmonite, was responsible to teach the king's sons. Ahithophel was the royal advisor. Hushai, the Archite, was the king's friend. Ahithophel was succeeded by Jehoiada, son of Benaiah, and by Abiathar. Joab was commander of the Israelite army. July 18th. As we look into the New Testament today, we'll be reading from the book of Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, and we'll go through chapter 5, verse 5. Now in chapter 4, Paul went back to Abraham and David to explain how God declares believing sinners righteous. Now he goes all the way back to Adam. Adam's sin passed sin and death onto the whole human race. But Christ's obedience gives righteousness and life to all who trust him. In our first birth, we became condemned children of Adam. But in our second birth, we are the forgiven children of God. And there are riches, peace, access into God's grace, joy, hope, love, and the Holy Spirit. What riches we have in Christ. And trials work for us, not against us, and develop Christian character. How rich we are. And now let's begin today's reading in the New Testament. July 18th, Romans chapter 4, verse 13 through chapter 5, verse 5. It is clear then that God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was not based on obedience to God's law, but on the new relationship with God that comes by faith. So if you claim that God's promise is for those who obey God's law and think they are good enough in God's sight, then you are saying that faith is useless. And in that case, the promise is also meaningless. But the law brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. So that's why faith is the key. God's promise is given to us as a free gift, and we are certain to receive it, whether or not we follow Jewish customs, if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, "I have made you the father of many nations." This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who brings into existence what didn't exist before. When God promised Abraham that he would become the father of many nations, Abraham believed him. God had also said, "Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars," even though such a promise seemed utterly impossible. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though he knew that he was too old to be a father at the age of 100 and that Sarah, his wife, had never been able to have children. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was absolutely convinced that God was able to do anything he promised. And because of Abraham's faith, God declared him to be righteous. Now, this wonderful truth that God declared him to be righteous wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was for us too, assuring us that God will also declare us to be righteous if we believe in God, who brought Jesus our Lord back from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised from the dead to make us right with God. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to endure, and endurance develops strength of character in us, and character strengthens our confident expectation of salvation. And this expectation will not disappoint us, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Today we're reading Psalm 14, verses 1 through 7. The contrast is between the generation of the wicked and the generation of the righteous. Now the latter group is made up of those who have trusted the Lord and seek Him and His will. The generation of the wicked is composed of people who are practical atheists. God is not in their hearts, no matter what they may say and do outwardly. They can live without God. They disobey God and exploit people made in the image of God. They are corrupt, and so they do corrupt things. The generation of the righteous calls on the Lord, and He answers. God dwells with these people, protects them, and gives them joyful hope. The group may not be large, but it is precious to God, and the future of God's program rests with it. So, of which group are you a member? Have you made your allegiance known? Psalm 14, verses 1 through 7. For the choir director, a psalm of David. Only fools say in their hearts, "There is no God." They are corrupt, and their actions are evil. No one does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race. He looks to see if there is even one with real understanding, one who seeks for God. But no, all have turned away from God. All have become corrupt. No one does good, not even one. Will those who do evil never learn? They eat up my people like bread. They wouldn't think of praying to the Lord. Terror will grip them, for God is with those who obey Him. The wicked frustrate the plans of the oppressed, but the Lord will protect His people. Oh, that salvation would come from Mount Zion to rescue Israel! For when the Lord restores His people, Jacob will shout with joy and Israel will rejoice. Proverbs 19, verse 17. If you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and He will repay you.